Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Got it. Sonu Vishto Bhagavata. Yakshete Salilashaye. Loka Samstam Yata Purvam. Nirmame samstaya svaya. Sonu Vishto Bhagavata. Yakshite salila shoye. Loka samstam yata purvam. Nirmame samstaya svaya. Loka samstam yata purvam. Nirmame samstaya svaya. Sonu Vishto Bhagavata. Yakshite salile shaye. Loka samstam yata purvam. Nirmame samstaya svaya. Sonu Vishto Bhagavata. Te salilashaye. Loka samstam yata purvam. Svaya svaya saha. Lord Brahma. Anu Vishtaha. Was entered. Bhagavata, by the Lord, Yaha, who, Shite, sleeps, Salila Ashaye, on the Garbhodaka ocean, Loka Samstam, the universe, Yata Purvam, as previously, Nirmame created samstaya by intelligence, svaya, his own. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. When that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was lying on the Garbhodaka ocean, entered the heart of Brahma. Brahma brought his intelligence to bear, and with the intelligence invoked, he began to create the universe as it was before. Purport. At a certain time, the personality of Godhead, Karanoda Kshayi Vishnu, lies in the Karana ocean and produces many thousands of universes from his breathing. Then he enters again into each and every universe as the Garbhodaka Shayi Vishnu, and fills up half of each universe with his own perspiration. The other half of the universe remains vacant, and that vacant region is called outer space. Then the lotus flower sprouts from his abdomen and produces the first living creature, Brahma. Then again, as Shirodakshayi Vishnu, the Lord enters into the heart of every living entity, including Brahma. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 15th chapter. The Lord says, I am seated in everyone's heart, and by me are remembrance and forgetfulness made possible. As the witness of the activities of the individual entities, the Lord gives each one remembrance and intelligence to act according to his desire at the time he was annihilated in his last birth in the last millennium. This intelligence is invoked according to one's own capacity or by the law of karma. Brahma was the first living entity, and he was empowered by the Supreme Lord to act in charge of the mode of passion. Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai. Therefore, he was given the required intelligence, which is so powerful and extensive that he is almost independent of the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as a highly posted manager is almost as independent as the owner of a firm, Brahma is described here as independent because as the Lord's representative to control the universe, he is almost as powerful and independent as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord, as the super soul within Brahma, gave him the intelligence to create. The creative power, therefore, of every living entity is not his own. It is by the grace of the Lord that one can create. There are many scientists and great workers in this material world who have wonderful creative force, but they act and create only according to the direction of the Supreme Lord. A scientist may create many wonderful inventions by the direction of the Lord, but it is not possible for him to overcome the stringent laws of material nature by his intelligence. Nor is it possible to acquire such intelligence from the Lord, for the Lord's supremacy would then be hampered. It is stated in this verse that Brahma created the universe as it was before. This means that he created everything by the same name and form as in the previous cosmic manifestation. Yata Purvam. When he creates, Brahma is following a pre-existing, a pattern that already exists. Similarly, some construction firm, some corporation may decide to build houses. So they will design two or three different kinds of houses and build for anyone who wants, but the plans exist. If you want to spend a lot of money, you can engage an architect and make your own design. But more economical is to go to the people who have their plans already. You pick one of the three houses and they build it for you. The plans exist already. It is a more economical way of organizing a whole universe. It would be much more complicated for Brahma if every day of his life he had to make new plans. It would tax his brain too much. It's enough work for him to do what he's doing. And he has a difficult time. He's stretching his intelligence to do even that. He's empowered, but he's empowered up to that point. He's not empowered to make up all the plans from scratch, from beginning, every day. He doesn't have that power. And Krishna doesn't need it. The material world is not the real world anyway. It's just an imitation. A cheap world. Cheap imitation. So let the Kropatis engage an architect to design a special house, some mansion. and spend $5 million, $10 million for your house. But the man who doesn't have crores, he takes a pre-existing design. That's Brahma. Where's the design? In the Vedas. The design of the universe is contained in the Vedic Shastra. Of course, it's contained in the lotus stem. But actually, the original repository of the design, the original place where the design is found, is in the Shabda Brahman, the Vedic sound. The Mayavadis, or the hippies and New Age speculators, they talk about the, and the Buddhists, they talk about this Akash records, that there's some, like, just like computer has memory, so there's some subtle memory in the Akash of everything. Yes, but what that is the Veda, Shabda Brahman. The sound of the Veda is eternal. It exists along with Lord Narayan in the spiritual world. Anadi nidana vaguk shrishta swayambhuva. When Lord Brahma, before he created anything else, well, he created, you know, first of all, four sons. The Kumara brothers. Of course, they were born as babies. They're called Kumaras, not because they were born as babies. All of us were Kumaras. But they stayed Kumaras. They never grew more than 5 years old, so therefore they're called the Kumaras. They didn't want to become adults because they didn't want to get involved in sex. They didn't want to get married. So the easiest way to stay Brahmachari was to stay 5 years old. Kumaras. And then Mahadev, Shiva, Rudra, was born. But before Brahma created anybody else, from his four mouths came the four Vedas. Vag utsrishta swayambhuva. The transcendental sound of the Vedas came from the mouths of Brahma. But that anadi nidana, it's not that, that's his own creation. He didn't make up that sound. He didn't produce it out of his own head. He can. He's a great sage. He wrote the Mahabharata. Kohanyo Pundarikakshat Mahabharata Krit Bhavet. Who other than the incarnation of the lotus-eyed Lord Narayan, Vyasadev? Who else could have written the Mahabharata? Mahabharata Krit. And Vedanta Sutra Krit. Krishna says that in the Gita. Vedanta Krit, Veda Vedeva Chaham. I am the author of the Vedanta, Brahma Sutras. And I am the author, I'm not the author, I am the knower of the Vedas. Vyasadev, oh, we're talking about Vyasadev, Brahma. Vyasadev wrote Vedanta Sutra. I confused Brahma and Vyasadev. Vyasadev wrote these two books, Mahabharata and Vedanta Sutra. He's a creature of Brahma. If Vyasadev can write his own book, then Lord Brahma can also write his own book. He wrote a book. Lord Chaitanya discovered it. The Brahma Samhita. Personal poem written by Brahma himself. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Maybe he wrote some other book too. That's the only one we have. And we only have one chapter, fifth chapter. The other chapters are lost. But here's one book, at least one chapter of it, written by Lord Brahma. He can write his own book. Even Vyasadeva can write his own book. Mahabharata and Vedanta Sutra. Great books. Big books. Biggest book, Mahabharata. And the most difficult book, Vedanta Sutra. Big book, but easy. And a little book, but very hard. He wrote both of them. And Brahma wrote his book, beautiful book, Brahma Samhita. But he didn't write the Vedas. Vyasadeva is known as Vedavyas, the compiler of the Vedas, but it doesn't mean he wrote them. He didn't create the Vedas, Vyasadeva. Vyasa means editor. The editor is not the author. He's the editor of the Vedas. Krishna himself says, Vedanta Krid, I'm the author of the Vedanta in my incarnation as Vyas. Vedavid, and I'm the knower of the Vedas. He doesn't say he's the author. Even Krishna doesn't claim to be the author of the Vedas. So Vyasadeva is not the author. He's only the editor. And there's a different editor at the end of every Dwarpa Yuga, a different Vyasadeva. Lord Brahma is the first speaker of the Vedas. Vag Utsrishta Swayambhuva. The Vedas come out of the mouth of Brahma at the beginning of creation. But that doesn't mean that he's creating them. He's speaking them. No one has spoken anything before. The first thing that Brahma did speak to the Kumaras. But it didn't work. They refused to obey his order. He asked them to get married. They didn't get married. They refused. So he thought, there's something wrong here. Nobody's listening to me. Let me speak something that everybody will listen to. So he opened his four mouths and the four Vedas came out. This Veda is Anadi Nidana.
Hare Krishna.
It doesn't have any beginning. It doesn't have any end. This is the transcendental Vedic sound. And that Vedic sound contains the plan of the whole creation. The plan of all the different forms of life, from the great sages and demigods down to the insects. And the plans for all the different worlds and places to live, all the different environments. Such a complex universe, the Vedas have all the information encoded within them. It is from the pattern of the Vedas that everything is designed, and because the Vedas don't change, therefore, even though the creation is done repeatedly, it's broken down and recreated repeatedly, still the basic plan is always the same. Basic plan is always the same. Stated in the Narayan Upanishad that is found at the end of the Taittiriya Samhita of the Black Yajurveda. In that Narayan Upanishad, it is stated, it's described how from the pattern, the plan of the Vedas, the world is created. Tataiva niyamas kale swarari niyamas tata. The Vedas are organized in a very strict way, very regulated way. Niyama is regulation. So we have regulations that are imposed upon us. My father tells me, come home by 8 p.m. or I'll beat you. That is a regulation imposed by my father. The country has a regulation. You must drive on this side of the road or we'll take your license away. Niyama, restriction. So, there is restriction in the Veda. Definite pattern. The sounds must not change. The Brahmanas study the Vedas and they teach them to their children. They must be sure that nobody changes one syllable. It must be passed from generation to generation unchanged. Kali. There is the meter. You must, each Vedic mantra is set to a particular meter. It must be maintained exactly. And also, there is restriction. Every sound has a certain intonation. Sabhumim vishvato vidva atyatishta dashangulam. That melody, that intonation, is fixed. You must not change it. You must not distort it. So exact, the sound must be preserved exactly the same, down to every little intonation. And because the Vedas are kept unchanged, Therefore, the general construction of the universe, every time it is repeated, it's repeated basically the same. There may be some variation. Each creation may be, repeated creation may be slightly different. Just like you have a basic design for the house. But someone can say, I want the house blue. No, I want it yellow. I want you put these different shutters on the windows. You can make minor changes to the design. It is not such a big difficulty for the constructors to make a little change for you. But the basic design must be remain the same. If you want a completely different house, then you pay a lot of money to an architect and get a special design. But for the same basic design, you can make minor changes. So in each creation, the plan that is recorded in the Vedas is followed, but there's some minor variations. Minor differences. It is the basis of the unity and the consistency of creation, that it's always basically the same. It's not that when Brahma wakes up in a different day, now 2 + 2 = 5, and everything jumps up in the sky instead of falling down. The laws of nature do not change. Everything remains basically the same. Because the Vedas are maintaining the regulation. So therefore, the Vedas will not change, even if we forget them. In Kali Yuga Veda Pashanda Dushita, it says in the 12th canto, that the atheists and materialists come and they try to ruin the Vedas. They try to change the text. How do you do that? The Vedas are eternal. But you can make some distortion in repeating the Vedas. Especially when you start writing it down in paper. When the Brahmanas memorized the Vedas, then the preservation was much more accurate. In the Gurukul, there are many boys studying, not just one or two. All over India, so many thousands of Brahmanas were learning the Vedas. Go to Mathura, the place is full of Chobes. Chaturvedis, Chobe means Chaturvedi. Someone who studied all four Vedas. Maybe their great, 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 great grandfather knew four Vedas. There's nobody in Mathura who knows one Veda now. But so many Chobes, Chaturvedis.
Yeah.
That means there's so many, that means at one time, thousands or millions of years ago, many Brahmanas studied the Vedas, memorized them. You memorize not from a book, you memorize by hearing from the Guru and repeating. The little boys, 5, 7 years old, they sit there in their kopins and they simply repeat what the Guru says. He chants the mantra, they chant it. He chants one pada of the mantra, they chant it. He chants it 20 times and they repeat it 20 times. And then they remember it, because the little boys, their brains can remember easily. A 3 to 7 year old child can memorize things very easily. Even though he's a foolish boy, but the brain of a small child is good for memorizing. He may not understand what any of it means, but let him fill his brain, memorize all the mantras. And then when he's 10 years old, 9 years old, then we'll teach him what it means. First he can memorize the whole Veda, whatever, his own shaka at least, one shaka. Let it memorize. So that was this traditional, that's the actual Vedic method of education, by hearing and repeating. It's described in the Rig Veda, the little brahmacharis reciting their mantras sounds like the frogs croaking in the field. But that silly chattering of the boys in the Gurukul, it sounds like frogs. This is how the Vedic knowledge is preserved correctly. If 50,000 brahmacharis have learned the same Veda, then it is easy to ascertain what is the real text. One of the boys may be stupid and he learned it wrong. But 50,000 boys, brahmacharis, cannot all learn it wrong the same way. You can get a consensus, you can find out what is the real text, because you have so many brahmanas who have memorized it. Sutra Kanti. A real brahmana is called Sutra Kanti. He has the sutras. Sutra of the Vyakarana, or Sutra of Vedanta, whatever he studied. In his throat. Or in English we say on the tip of the tongue. I can just ask him, what's that sutra? You know, how do you make the past tense of the verb bu, you know, babuva? What's the sutra? And he'll say it in 1 second. It'll come out of his mouth. Because he has all the sutras in his throat. He's memorized all of them. Sutra Kanti. The knowledge is easily available. You have the walking encyclopedias. People who have memorized. That is real education. But in the modern age, we can't memorize. We have to write it down in a book. We take the Rig Veda and we make a manuscript. Professor, what was his name? Max Miller. He published the Rig Veda in 1875 or something. Because nobody can memorize it anymore. So he published it with the commentary of Sayana Acharya, Rig Veda, and other Vedas. The age of publishing. First of all, 1,000 years ago or so, 2,000 years ago, they started writing so many manuscripts. Hastalikita. But that, learning the Vedas from a Hastalikita or from a printed book is considered aparad. According to the Dharma Shastras, if you try to study the Vedas from a book or from a manuscript, you're committing aparad. You must do it by hearing, not by reading from paper. The Veda is sacred, you don't just treat it like a laundry list. Not that people didn't know how to write millions of years ago. But they used the writing just to send somebody a letter or to write the list of what subjects to buy in the market. You know, give it to his servant who's too stupid to remember. They write it down. But to write down the Vedas as if it was a list of subjects to buy in the market, that's considered aparad. The proper way to study is simply to hear and repeat and memorize. But in Kali Yuga, we can't do it. So there are so many Hastalikitas. And, you know, the students are there turning the pages, or they have their book, or they have their hard drive with the files on it. Yeah. They can't memorize. I have the Harinam Vyakarana Sutras in my computer because I can't memorize them. So I have to look at the computer. Prabhupada came to Los Angeles in 1976. The BBT had relocated to Los Angeles and set up nice offices. And we had a computer. In 1976, there were no personal computers. You had to buy a big computer for $100,000, $200,000. A mini computer. That was just for typesetting. We had some computer. And we were so proud. We came to show it to Prabhupada. Oh, we have this computer now, Prabhupada, for publishing your books. And we have this chart on the wall so we can see exactly what books we're working on, what stage, which editor has it. And Prabhupada laughed. I think I was there in the office. He laughed. He said, this is very nice. But when I was in Vrindavan, in Madhava Damodara Temple, I didn't need all these things. I had no computer, no chart on the wall. But you boys, you need these things. You need these things. Anyway, he was pleased, but he was also amused. So many material complications, just to produce a book. Srila Jiva Goswami, Srila Rupa Sanatan, they sat down under a tree with a little, you know, clay pot with mussy, with ink in it, and a feather for a pen, and some burja patra to write on. That's all. There was no electricity to even worry about. I don't know how they lived. I don't know how anybody can do it. Live without electricity. I can't do it. But they were doing it. Living here, where the climate is severe. You know? No worrying about the printer breaking. They were writing with a feather and a pot of ink, and that's all. And a cloth, maybe, to wipe the ink off, extra ink off. A rag. That's all they had. That was their whole printing operation. Of course, it took 4 months to write one copy of Srimad Bhagavatam. How many books can you distribute if it takes 4 months to produce each copy? By hand. So, all the Goswami literatures, I would estimate less than 50,000 copies were ever produced up until the beginning of the up until the middle of the 19th century. Less than 50,000 copies of all the books by the six Goswamis. Because they were all handwritten copies until at least the end of the 18th century. Printing did not really start in India until near the end of the 18th century. There were a few books, but not many books were printed until about 1780 or so AD. So everything was written by hand. Do you want a copy of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu? You have to be very, very fortunate to get your hands on one. Because you have to get a handwritten copy that took someone months to write. Very rare. A rare thing to get the book. You know, very hard to get. You have to share the book, you have to, you know, borrow a book or just look at someone else's book, because it's not easy to get your own copy. There were not many copies. So preaching was limited by that. We couldn't sell 500,000 copies of Nectar Devotion, 1 million copies, 5 million copies, because nobody could produce that many copies. So to have the technology is an advantage. Now we can produce, we can sell 500 million Bhagavad Gitas in 16 languages. You couldn't do that if the translators had to sit down under a tree with a pot of ink and a feather. It would take them lifetimes to produce those translations. And then each copy would take a few months to make. How many books could you sell? So the advantage to the technology, for Kali Yuga, it's appropriate, it's necessary. And then Krishna consciousness can be spread in a mass way. But the original system, you simply hear and repeat. The Vedas came out of the mouth of Brahma, and the universe was created just like before, following the plan of the Vedas. Even though there was no internet, no hard, you know, no storage systems. It was all done on the level of transcendental sound, which doesn't change. Okay, so I'll stop here. Are there any questions or comments? Okay. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya. Hare Krishna.